We're studying this evening about having a strong heart, and those certainly go well with our message this evening, so thank you for that. If you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 3, in just a moment we'll do a reading there about verse 16. We thank you for your presence. We have a large number who are visiting with us, and as if our own members do not get enough of me, I see the wards with us this evening. We're certainly glad for you to be with us. We appreciate Seth and Danielle and the kids. My brother Steve and his wife, Bonnie's parents, are with us. It's good to have them with us. The Reddicks and others who are dear to us. Other visitors, we're thankful that you're here. And those who regularly attend here at Jerry Whitson, I'm so grateful for your presence and support of this gospel meeting. It was good to be with the deans this evening for a meal. They are lifelong friends of my wife, Sherry, going back many, many years. They're good folks, and it was good to be with them again this evening. I was with my son for lunch. The waitress, when Jesse took me to lunch today, she said, "Are you having lunch with your father?" So he gave me a belated Father's Day lunch, I guess. But I appreciate his time this afternoon. Last evening, we were with the Freezes. I'm not sure what happened, Norm. I don't think it was me. Sister Rhoda was sitting on the same side of the table. Was she kicking Phyllis or... I'm sorry to hear that, but it wasn't me. I didn't have anything to do with that. I'm sorry she had that problem, and we will pray for her. So we've been looking at the Bible addressing our mind, and it's a great study for us today. Sunday morning, we just simply reminded ourselves that God makes the mind just like He does the body, and He wants to help us with our mind through His Word. Sunday night, we looked at Proverbs chapter 4 and the importance of guarding our heart. What comes in to our heart is what's going to go out in action. So input, output. Tonight, we're going to look at the importance of having a strong mind. We may not think about that. We think about having a strong body. We think about lifting weights and working out our body. But do we think about working out our mind? And this evening, I want to speak a lot, if you'll allow me, to our parents. Because much of the development of the mind is happening when our children are young, and they are developing a strong mind or a weak mind under our watch. The mind development can continue to grow throughout adulthood, but when our children are toddlers all the way up through 18, we have a big role that we're playing as to whether or not we are developing our children to have a strong mind or not. In our actions, what we say with them, what we do with them. And so I'm going to talk a lot tonight with regard to our parents. We're going to face difficult times in life. Everyone in the world faces difficult and trying times in their life. Some of those difficult and trying times are caused by ourselves. We cause it. We're the problem with our poor choices. And sometimes it's not our fault, it's coming from somebody else. But we live in a sinful world where there are going to be troubles and trials and problems. We're going to need a strong mind to handle those things. Many people focus on the strength of their body, but they don't really talk a lot about the strength of their mind. And so sometimes people are growing up from their youth, and they're not conditioning their mind just like you would go to work out at a gym to condition your muscles. They're not conditioning their mind to handle problems. And so when those problems arise, they have some serious either mental problems or even health problems or other issues going on in their life. So we're going to talk this evening about what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 16 through 18. We're going to be talking about how that God can strengthen us with power in the inward man. The inward man is our spirit. It's our mind. It's the Bible heart. And God wants to strengthen us with power in the inward man. God knows that we have to face difficult things in life, and He wants to give us strength and power in the inward man so that in our mind we can face these problems. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. Notice the what, strengthened with power. Notice the who, through His Spirit, the words of the Holy Spirit. Notice the where, in the inward man. Now, do we believe that or not? That Christ may dwell in your hearts, the inward man, through faith to the end that you being rooted and grounded in love, even those words speak to stability, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. You can even add verse 20, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So as our faith, verse 17, faith comes by hearing God's word. As our faith is grounded in the words of the Holy Spirit, we are strengthened with power in the inward man. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're laying some groundwork. Tomorrow night, we will talk about the classic anxiety and depression and so forth. But I wanted to purposely lay the groundwork for these series of lessons to talk about, number one, that God makes the mind and He wants to help us with our mind. Number two, we have to guard our hearts and our minds. And number three, we can be strong in our mind, or we can be weak. It depends. Now, this evening, at the beginning of this lesson, I'm going to mention some things that maybe the way I'm wording it may be uncomfortable to some. I don't know. I don't purposely try to make somebody uncomfortable. However, I will say this. What I'm saying is coming from factual statements and conversations and the way things are worded in society. Our young people are hearing the way I'm about to word these things. It might make us uncomfortable, or we might disagree with it in some way. But it is going on. I would never bring up something and just make it up. This is the way people are describing things that are going on in their lives. And I would also say at the beginning that I'm not poking fun at this. I'm not saying that in their minds it's not real. It might be very real to them. But this is the way that things are being described. And brethren, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves doing similar things, and it does lead to problems. So I wanted to mention that at the very beginning. We just sang in our psalm books, "Be strong and take courage," taken from Joshua chapter 1, that we need to understand that God wants us to be strong and courageous. He's not talking about Joshua's physical strength. Joshua had already proved that going back to Exodus 17 when they're coming out of Egypt and they battle with the Amalekites and other wars that were taking place in the wilderness wandering, especially in the latter part of the book of Numbers, Sihon and Og. Joshua had already proved himself to be physically strong, but when it comes time to take Canaan land, Moses is now dead. Joshua is the new leader. God says on more than one occasion here, be strong and courageous. That's our inward mind. He's going to face some difficult things. And we all face difficult things. And as parents, I would encourage us to be raising our children to have strong minds. And at the end of the lesson, I'm going to try to give some practical ways in which that can be done. And if you will let me go ahead and mention again this caveat at the beginning, when we get to that point in the lesson later on, you may or may not, as a parent, agree that this is a good thing to do. Some of these, admittedly, are in the areas of judgment. But if you choose to do something else, that's fine, as long as we are training our children to have strong minds. I'm going to offer some suggestions. You may choose to do that or not. You may choose to word it the way I'm wording it or not. But at the end of the day, we need to be making sure that at least these biblical principles are in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And if we're trying to help other people, the best help we give them is these biblical principles. We can always stand on the Word of God. In our society today, it is very common for individuals to face problems in their life, and they will commonly describe it as a trauma or a crisis. And while it is true that some people experience true trauma and crisis, many other people today see common ordinary events in their life as trauma and crisis, when it is actually not the case. They believe, or they're being told, that they're having a mental breakdown, or they're having a mental meltdown. Often, the trauma or the crisis is simply common to all people. It could be a job change. Young folks, talk to some of these older brethren here. They've had several job changes in their life, and they're perfectly fine. It could be a job change. It could be a job loss. It could be a failed grade. It could be an F on a test. It could be a breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend. It could be some unkind word that they heard, especially in social media or a text. It could be bullying. It could be a tough job. It could be a hard teacher at school. It could be some rebuke that they were given or some disappointment, a failure, some sort of rejection, being ignored by someone. Lonely, low self-esteem. Maybe their parents just simply corrected their behavior. It could be a divorce. It could be an unfaithful spouse. It could be cancer, like my doctor told me in 2004. It could be old age challenges. It could be death. It could be a number of things, but these are common things that everybody experiences at some point. But today, all of those things are trauma and a crisis. Brethren, we have to be careful that we do not describe everything in life as a trauma or a crisis, at least for three reasons. Number one, if everything is a crisis, then nothing is truly a crisis anymore. And number two, this approach to life can cause us to make excuses for our improper behavior. And number three, people who often speak this way will often give up, either literally by taking their own life or mentally checking out in some way. Now, if what I just said makes you uncomfortable, it might, I don't know. But it's real. That's the way people are talking today. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, or the description or the characterization of it, that's the way people are talking. I spoke just today, just to confirm this, with a preacher of mine who preaches in a congregation that has a little over 200 members. And there are 30 college members in this congregation. Many times these college kids will come to me, 18 to 22 years old, long in there. Everything is. And he will say to them, okay, what's the problem? I got a test tomorrow. Okay. He doesn't belittle that or he doesn't laugh out loud, but he's telling me, Chris, I'm thinking in my mind, well, wait a minute, we all have tests. We've all taken tests before, but it's not a crisis. And he says that everything is anxiety. Everything's anxiety. I've got anxiety about this. And then when he begins to ask them about what it is, it's just a common, ordinary thing that's going on that everybody experiences every day. And he says often after he will talk with them, they calm down, and it's almost like they don't even use that wording anymore because he just took time to talk with them about what's going on in their life. And he also tells me that when they come up and say, I've got anxiety about such and such, they're wanting him to use a very important catchword to help them feel like they're okay. He wants them to say, oh, you have a condition. You have a condition. But he doesn't say that to them. He talks with them about what's going on in their life. Maybe it's often a test that's coming up or a paper that's due, or it could be a breakup that they've just gone through. But when he gets done talking with them, they feel a lot better about things. But starting off, he says, they're often wanting me to call it a condition. That way they can be comfortable in that thing that they're in because they have a condition. He describes it as, he says, tell me what the circumstances are that's going on. He doesn't call it a condition. And he tries to help them in that way. Brethren, the language that we use, this is very, very important. The language that we're using today is often giving us the permission to act a certain way. It may not be the case with everyone, but it is the case with many. So today, these catchwords and phrases are very important, and it's important for people to use them in order to justify behavior. Disease, condition, issue, trauma, crisis, triggered, broken, often will give way and allow the person to continue acting the way they want to act. The latest one that is being used is triggered. I saw this on some news reports recently where some individuals engaged in very bad behavior, and when the news was reporting on it, they said so-and-so was triggered to do such-and-such. As if the blame was on the people outside, you know, triggering them to do that. So we're not even saying anymore, so-and-so made a decision, a very bad decision, to act in a bad way. What we're saying is other people triggered them to act this way. These words are very important to our young people. They're hearing these words, and they're being told things that go along with these words. So the Bible talks about mental strength and mental fortitude. And we have to have a strong mind to face the difficult things that are going on in life. If we want a strong body, why wouldn't we also want strong minds? If someone has the physical problem of neuropathy, where they have a weakness in their legs, they can't stand. When someone has a weak mind, they can't stand. They can't stand up to the pressures and the problems that are going on in life. So we have to strengthen our mind just as much as we would want to strengthen our body or our legs. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, "You made me mad." No. Somebody did something and I chose to react. I chose to be mad or not. You don't say, "You made me mad. Joe, you made me mad." No, Joe did something and I chose to be mad or not. What we're doing is we're saying things that put the onus on somebody else, that put the blame on somebody else, that shifts the attention away from me and the choices that I'm making. And these words that are being used are very important. And today, in helping other people, if you don't use certain words, then you're just not in touch. So when this preacher doesn't use the word issue or condition or trauma or crisis, some young people, well, I got to go somewhere else for help. He's not describing what I have as a condition. He's just talking with me about the circumstances that are going on this week. But he told me today, a lot of these young people just appreciate him talking with them about the circumstances of things that are coming up, and then they realize, you know, I really don't have a trauma or a crisis. So let's look this evening at the importance of mental strength. One other thing I wanted to mention before going on, if you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 27, we'll begin to look at the Old Testament principle. As you're turning over there, let me mention this while I'm thinking about it. I was talking with someone today who's an elder in a congregation, and from time to time, visit members who aren't attending anymore. Just a few of them now are starting to say this. I'm not making fun of this. I'm not belittling this. I'm reporting a fact. We have social anxiety, and so we don't want to come. We can't be around people. These words, these concepts, these thoughts are slowly getting into society and even members of the church, and it's affecting behavior. And if we say a certain word or a certain phrase, then we're justified in what we're doing. Brethren, I'm not making fun of them, but I'm asking a serious question. If we go down this road, will we get to the point where we can't baptize someone because they have a fear of water? I can't take the Lord's Supper because I might be allergic to grape juice. I can't be around singing because it's too loud and it's kind of stressful. I can't come to Bible class or sit through a sermon because I have attention deficit disorder. And Jesse preaches about 40 minutes. I can't sit still for 40 minutes. If we go down this road, how much other behavior do we excuse because of this and because of that? Elders moving forward might have to deal with these kinds of things that brethren are saying. Psalm 27, the song that we sang this evening, that our brother led, be strong and let thy heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. The principle of inward mental strength is an Old Testament principle. This is not talking about physical strength, but inside of us. A man, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases in might. Notice how that the knowledge is connected with the might. The knowledge of God's Word and the principles that are in God's Word are helping our minds to be strong. A very familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 40. He has given power to the faint, and to him that has no might, he increases strength. By the way, this is God. It's a great passage out of Isaiah, and we talked about this Sunday morning. God is wanting to help us. The he here is God. And yes, through prayer and through Bible study and through the providence of God giving things that we don't even see him doing behind the scenes, and as we're going to see Wednesday night, he gives us a local church, what we would call a support group. You want a support group to go to? That's the local church. He is going to help us. We studied that Sunday morning. Those who wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength. This is the inward strength of the mind. It's a New Testament principle. By the way, most of these passages we're all very familiar with. I'd like for you to read them again in light of mental health. They're all very familiar passages. We're familiar with putting on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. To be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that's not physical strength. When we put on the various armor of God, that shield of faith, that sword of the Spirit, in fact, all of those pieces of armor, all of those, listen carefully, they all relate to the Word of God and they all relate to the mind. Every one of them. That well-known list of the armor of God. They're all relating to the Word of God and they're all relating to the mind. That's how you stand up against the devil. Brethren, What in the world did people do, whether they were members of the church or not, what did they do with troubles and trials in life prior to modern day medicine? What did they do? Well, I hadn't thought about that. Well, it'd be good to think about that. Modern day medicine, as it relates to mental health, was not until about 1950. What did brethren and others do prior to that? We need to be very careful saying things like, well, it's just prayer and the Bible. We need to be very careful about that. Because there has been not hundreds of years, there's been thousands of years where people have had to work through things in their life without any modern day medicine, and they did it. Now, as I said Sunday morning, if somebody believes they need that, they need to talk with their doctor about that. But we do not need to disparage in any way what God gives us to help us with our mind. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through him, Christ, that strengthens me. Paul was not talking about his physical strength, because in other places he admits that he was weak and had a thorn in the flesh. But you could not move Paul's mind. He was solid as a rock. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and all of the difficult things that he went through. Brethren, you wouldn't have 13 epistles if Paul was a weakling, a mental weakling. You wouldn't have that. He's imprisoned more than once. And all of the difficult things that he did not have a mental breakdown. What if Abraham was not strong? We just had a VBS at home with our kids. What if Abraham was not strong? We wouldn't have that whole story of Abraham. He traveled over 900 miles. He went through all kinds of things. Joseph. What if Joseph wasn't strong? The Potiphar's wife and all of that, withstanding sexual temptation, thrown in jail unnecessarily. What if Daniel wasn't mentally strong? What if John the Baptist wasn't mentally strong to confront sin and the Pharisees and the hypocrites? What if Paul wasn't mentally strong? We don't stop and think about that sometimes. I think we should. And the example of all examples, what in the world if Jesus wasn't strong? Hebrews 12:2, he endured the cross, despising shame. He didn't have a mental breakdown. None of these men described their life as crises and trauma, but we do today. Far much less today is described as a crisis and a trauma. In doing research and background for this series of lessons, back in the month of May, what's been called Mental Health Month, I listened for several days. A Sirius XM radio station, nationally syndicated all over the country, from NYU, New York University, Lancome Health. This is way up there with Vanderbilt and the Mayo Clinic and all of the big ones. They have their own nationally syndicated mental health radio program. People call in, it was the same thing every time. People call in, number one, with a common, ordinary problem. The counselor listens to it, repeats the problem, and then says two things every time I heard it, every time. You should probably get some therapy for that, and I would suggest that you get treatments for that. And treatments is code word for medicine and other things. Some of the things were this. A lady called in and said, my college-age son is having trouble adjusting to home life, having been in the dorm life. You should get therapy and you should get some treatments. Everyone was the same one. Am I making fun of that? No. But I'm telling you what's real. Not one time did any counselor suggest God, prayer, the Bible, anything. It was the same pat answer every time. You need to get therapy and get treatments. That's the world that our young people are living in. I was invited this week to talk about this because this is the thing that our young people aren't hearing. They're hearing the other. So I was invited to talk about what the Bible says and how God can help us, because all they hear is the other. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, where we cower and we're fearful of everything, but of power and love and discipline. And by the way, the word discipline there is a controlled mind But notice that power. That's what God wants us to have. And Peter says that we are to be girding up the loins of our mind. This is a reference to the servant who had a flowing garment and would gird it up and bound it up around his loins with a belt so that he could go out and do two things, work and serve and be active. Gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to toughen up and get ready to do some work and some service. And so, brethren, it's an Old Testament principle, and it's a New Testament principle. And so I want to talk a little bit this evening about just becoming a Christian. And if I go over time, I apologize in advance. We will probably go over a little bit this evening. Do you know that just becoming a Christian is going to take a strong mind? But I want to begin in the Old Testament. Turn with me to a couple of places in the Old Testament where, through Ezekiel, God promises that something is going to happen in the latter days. Something is going to take place, and God is going to do something for His people. What is that? He's going to give them a new heart and a new spirit and a new mind. In Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. That's your mind. And I will take the stony heart of flesh and I will give them a heart of flesh. Not hard, but that which is soft and can be movable and pliable. And that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. The same thing in Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. I'm going to give them a new heart. What is that? It's a heart and a mind that is open to the truth of God's word and obedient to God's word. When we sin, that's what I'm calling degeneration. The mind is not obedient to God's word. The mind becomes rebellious or proud. There are places in the New Testament that talk about a hardened mind, 2 Corinthians 3, a blinded mind, 2 Corinthians 4, a corrupted mind, 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to talk tomorrow night, Lord willing, about the very first story involving Adam and Eve and the devil. The very first one was a battle for the mind. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. We read about a vain or empty mind in Ephesians 4. The enemy of the mind, Colossians 1. When there is sin in our lives, our mind is not right. We need to change that. And then that brings us to conversion. When God calls us through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we're either going to respond to that with our mind or we're not. The mind is in the process. My point with this is the mind is in the process from beginning to end. From sin, the mind is involved in that. Conversion, becoming a Christian, and even growing as a Christian. In every process along the way, the mind is a part of that. Turn with me to John chapter 16 and verse 8. When the gospel comes to you, do you know what the Holy Spirit is trying to do? The Holy Spirit is trying to convict you of sin. John 16, 8, that's His job. He will convict the world in respect of sin. Do you know that when the Holy Spirit does that through the gospel, and you hear things like, I need to be baptized. I need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins, Acts 2, 38. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you and your mind is going to decide whether or not you're convicted or not? And you've got to have mental strength. When our young people grow up and they get about teenage years, and we have young Christians with us this evening, mental strength is needed to hear God's call. Mental strength is needed when the Bible tells me I'm a sinner. Mental strength is needed to believe new things. He that believeth and is baptized. Mental strength is needed to deal with guilt and shame of sin. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 when Peter said, "You by the hands of lawless men have crucified"? The text says they were pricked in the heart. They didn't say, "Well, you're hurting my feelings. You're saying I'm in sin. I can't take that." No, they were pricked in the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They didn't have a nervous breakdown. They didn't say, "Well, you called me a sinner. I don't know how to handle that." They said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" It takes mental strength as a sinner to hear Jesse preach, and he preaches the need to believe and be baptized. It takes some mental strength to accept that. And I've got to repent, and I've got to come to Jesus. That takes some mental strength. But if we're not developing our children to have that, they're just going to approach it the way society approaches it. And that is, "This is terrible. I've been told that I'm in sin. This is terrible." We're going to be moving away from even just the ability to respond to the gospel. It takes mental strength to deal with gospel preaching or with the Holy Spirit telling us that we're a sinner. It takes mental strength to confess Jesus. It takes mental strength to be baptized. But now that we've become a Christian, it takes mental strength to come back to the Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. After we've become a Christian, if sin enters into our life, this is Simon the sorcerer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I have the reference to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, where Paul said, In mind, be men. Grow up and man up in your mind. I think there's a whole generation being raised by parents today that they're mentally weak. Any little word, just they fall apart. Any little thing that happens, everybody just falls apart. That's what we're seeing today. We've got to toughen up our kids in their mind. So if nothing else, not just to handle life's problems, but just to become a Christian. And if there's sin in our life as a Christian, it's going to take some mental fortitude to come back to the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8. When Simon the sorcerer wanted to offer money for the laying on of the hands, "Give me also this power." Acts 8:20, Peter said unto him, "Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God." Can you imagine today if somebody had said that? What are you doing? You're being pretty hard with me. I can't handle that. And then Peter says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray the Lord if perhaps the heart of thy thoughts shall be forgiven thee. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon the sorcerer had a mental breakdown. No, it takes mental fortitude to sit there and hear that you're wrong. And I've had to hear that from my father. I've had to hear that before from gospel preaching. But we just, "I'm having a crisis." Now, again, that may be uncomfortable, but that's going on. I'm not saying it's going on in every case, but that's going on. And that's what our young people are hearing. And that's what they're seeing on the TikTok videos. And that's what they're seeing on Instagram. Everything's a crisis. Everything's a trauma. Everything's an issue. Everything's a condition. Everything's a disease. Everything's this and everything's that. They're not old enough to parse out the differences of all of those things. We're sitting here as adults going, "Well, I know that there are actual conditions." Well, okay, fine. But young people can't parse all of that out. All they're hearing is that all of this stuff is that, when in fact, much of it is not. It takes mental strength to remain faithful as a Christian and to come back if we need to. As Christians, we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. That takes some mental strength. We're to come back to the Lord after sinning. We're to have endurance and perseverance and undergo suffering. That takes some mental strength. It takes some mental strength as a Christian to take on temptations and suffering and challenges and false doctrine and errors and all kinds of things that the devil throws at us. And then I had up there earlier, glorification, going all the way to heaven. It takes mental strength to have a hope in this life that we can go to heaven. And like Abraham, to see that city whose builder and maker is God. That takes some mental strength to keep our hope focused on heaven. So as I close this evening with a few practical admonitions with regard to, again, primarily our parents, because us as parents and maybe grandparents are, I know that a lot of times grandparents are playing a greater role in raising the children than they used to, maybe grandparents as well. What are some things that we can do? And again, this is the part where in the matter of judgment and opinion, you might disagree. That's fine. As long as you choose something that gets the biblical principle done, that's fine. But we've got to raise our children to be mentally strong. Let me suggest a few things. First of all, always, like I said, I would end, we need to become a Christian if we need to. If you need to be baptized this evening, you need to do that. Don't stay in your sin. And if you need to return to Jesus Christ this evening, please do that. That is the way we can help our mind so much, being right with the Lord and not having sin on our guilt or conscience. Beyond that, what can we do? Well, let me encourage you, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, 11, and these are all based on biblical principles. Let me encourage you to allow your children to experience the negative. Let me say something at the beginning. I'm not saying as parents, as a parent, I'm not hoping my children will experience the negative today. I'm not purposely setting them up for the negative today. But when they experience the negative, I don't try to shield them from that. They need to learn to get hurt. And God, our Father, allows us to get hurt. All chastening, this is for brethren, and the context is probably suffering. All chastening seems for the present to be not joyous but grievous, yet afterward yields peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness. It's good for us to get hurt. Let them get hurt. Let them fall down and skin their knee. Let them get hurt. I'm not talking about purposely doing that. But neither do we try to shield them from everything in life that is negative. First of all, we literally can't do that, especially as they get older. It's good for them to get hurt from time to time. It's good for them to receive rebuke and corporal punishment. Young people need to receive a good pop and a whack from time to time. They need to receive good constructive criticism. They need to feel shame and remorse and guilt. When I sat on the edge of the bed and my father said, "You go in there, I'm going to give you a spanking." And I sat there until he got there. I thought about what I had done. I thought about how bad that was to lie. We're getting away from that where we don't tell people that. I've even heard statements say, don't tell someone that they're guilty. Do not suggest that they should have shame or guilt. Oh my. You're playing right into the devil's hands when you do that. That's exactly what the devil wants. If they fail at school, if they're on the losing team, it's good for them. Learn to lose. If you're taking notes, write this down. You need to learn to lose. I hate losing. I hate losing at a sport. I hate losing at a game. When I was in school, I was competitive in music in the Texas school system. It was very competitive. I wanted to win everything. But when you lose, it's good for you. It gives you mental fortitude and strength to keep living right and get up and try it again. And even if you never win. But today we're handing out awards and ribbons and prizes to the losing team because we don't want anybody to feel bad about anything. We are conditioning our young people to fail. Because when they get a little bit older, when it's cute when it's little, it's all cute. But when they get up teenage years and they can't handle anything because their whole life they were coddled and protected from every little thing. But when mom and dad can't protect them anymore in different situations, then they just fall apart. Let them do outdoor, strenuous, hard work. We're getting away from that. That'll strengthen your mind to get out there and sweat. Do some work. Get off the couch, put your phone down, get out of the air-conditioned couch, get outside and do some work. Let them play a sport and lose and not get an award for it. We need some toughening up. Parents need to say stop it more and mean it. And Christians, it's good for Christians to experience the negative. That's what Hebrews 12:11 is. And God does that. Look at verse 10. God does it, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, like a father would do his child. God does that with us. He doesn't exempt us from bad things. Verse 11 says, it yields peaceable fruit to those who have been exercised thereby. Yes, it makes us stronger. It makes our minds stronger. That's the exercised thereby. Number one, allow our children to experience the negative. Number two, help them to do mental weightlifting. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4:7. And by this I mean, when they experience the bad things, talk with them. And young people, please talk with your parents. Go to your parents. Your parents love you. Your parents care for you. Go talk with them about the issues and things that are going on in your lives. And they will help you with that. But they're going to help you to deal with those things and how you do it better the next time. That's called exercise. Exercise yourself unto godliness. The word there is the word gymnazo. We get the English word gymnasium from that word. To exercise, to train. And when our young people are growing up, we've got to train them. When somebody says something bad at you, here's how you deal with that. When you get an F on a test, here's how you deal with that. When you lose on a ball team, here's how you deal with that. It's training and exercise. And our mind is getting stronger. It's just like lifting weights. Our mind is getting stronger. Every one of those activities. And so when something big hits in life, they can handle that. They'll be fine. And when it comes time for them to sit in a sermon like I did on a Friday night, when I was about 12 years old, and my father was preaching hellfire and brimstone. He was coming down hard on it. I sat there, and I thought, I don't want to go to hell. And I got up, and I was baptized into Christ with another elderly man on a cold fall night in Kokomo, Indiana. But why? There was a lot of negativity in that sermon, but I was able to handle that. And you can too. Mental weightlifting. Please do that with your children. Teach them to have a healthy self-esteem. People don't fall apart when they realize that they're made in the image of God. You can say something to me all day long on Instagram. It's not going to affect me. You can tweet or text something. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm a child of God. I'm made in the image of God. I'm sorry, you're just not going to discourage me. Teach them to have a healthy self-esteem, and they can ignore the bully, and they can ignore the kid at school that's acting worldly, and carry on in a good way. What do Christians do in hard times? They practice self-control. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 13. You know, people that are in control of their mind and their faculties, they don't just fall apart at every little thing that comes up in life. They don't. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32, teach your children to be self-controlled. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. In the latter part of verse 32, we commonly associate that with anger. That's what's mentioned in the first part. But if you'll rule your spirit, that applies to all these other things. When some kid makes a comment, you're not going to be affected by that. You're ruling your spirit. And if you mess up on a grade, you're going to handle that. You're going to do better next time. If you're on the losing team, if somebody says something, if you have a test tomorrow, if a teacher's hard, if you got let go from a job, whatever, I'm ruling my spirit. I'm taking care of things. I'm going to get some help from mom and dad or others. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to make it through life, just like many of these older people have done thousands of times in their life. They just controlled themselves and did God's will. Trust God every day. That's the psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 27 in verse 1. That's the psalm based upon the song that we sang. We're just going to patiently trust God each and every day. We're not going to fall apart. It's not a crisis, and it's not a trauma, and it's not this, and it's not that. It's just simply a circumstance in my life that is challenging. And I'm going to let God be the strength of my life. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm going to trust God each and every day. And I'm going to keep God's word in my life. Young lady that was with us last night related to the freezes. I guess Norm's son, Norm, their daughter, was telling us that she reads her Bible all the time. What a fine young lady. Look at 1 John 2:14. I write unto you, young man, look at this. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, not talking about physical strength, mental, spiritual strength. You are strong. And then look at it. And the word of God abides in you. Where does that strength come from? The word of God that abides in you. That's the connection between the strength and the word of God. We can be strong, brother. We can read and study and meditate on His Word, and it will help us to make it through those difficult things in life. God wants you to be strong. 1 Peter 4:11, the strength which God supplies. You underscore that. And young people, you have a strength that God will supply you. Your parents are helping you to get that right now. And you're going to realize it even later in life. God is giving me the mental strength to handle what's spoken to me, what's done to me, the situations I have to face, the choices I have to make. God is going to strengthen me. I'm living faithfully each and every day, and He's going to help me through this. It's not the strength that Chris supplies, that God supplies. He wants us to be strong. And in the same book, chapter 5 and verse 10, God, the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a little, there's going to be problems in life, shall Himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. It starts in the home. It starts with us as parents. Just like we want our little children to grow up and be physically strong, and we're helping them to physically walk, we're going to help our children and our grandchildren to mentally be strong and walk throughout this life. We don't want them to be physically weak or mentally weak because they're going to fall. And we don't want them to be physically and mentally weak. We want them to be physically and mentally strong so that they will stand. If we can help you to do that this evening, I appreciate the extra time. We're going to stand and sing Soldiers of Christ. Arise and put your armor on. If you're not a child of God, you don't have that armor protection right now. When you leave this building, you are more open to the devil. Come and put on Christ in baptism. And this song that we're about to sing, put on this armor and be strong in the strength of His might. Let's leave this building this evening with strong mental mind. I'm not downplaying the problems. I'm not downplaying that. They're real. They're big in some cases. But our mind and the strength that God gives us, we can handle those things in a proper way and stay faithful to the Lord. If we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?